And welcome back to an episode of the Trans Gameboy Live.
Me, Joe.
And if you guys haven't heard already, we will be at Confluenza this year in, what is it, a week or two?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah, something about that. My time frame is off, guys. Everything's happening right now. All good. It's just like, whew, I can't keep track of time no more. But anyways, yes. We will be there. We will be doing a top 10 comic book movies where you guys are involved. And, yeah, hopefully we'll have some fun. We'll be on Saturday from 12 at the Pavilion. But, yes, so as we talk about movies, we're talking about another movie. This came out last week, and we enjoyed the movie so much we wanted to talk about it, and we wanted to make sure we go all spoiler-free on this bad boy. And, yeah, so we're talking about Predator Killers of Killers. An animated film that involves the Predator in something that I feel like should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, you know, it feels like we are getting a bit of Predator media resurgence, right? Like, I mean, wasn't it last year we had the movie Prey?
A year or two. It was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was, I think...
I'm looking it up right now. Go for it.
You know, it was basically sort of I guess... Yeah, it was part of the Predator franchise, except it took place in, like, Revolutionary America. You follow this Native American woman having to fight off a Predator, which, I mean, honestly, you know, that's one of those... I think when it comes to, like, a lot of the Predator, like, movie sequels and stuff like that, it was always sort of, like, interesting of, like... Like, it wasn't a whole lot of them, but you could always feel like you could maybe... It was, like, probably one of those first ones where you thought about, like, you know, what if we just put the Predator in a different time period, not in the modern day? How would people back then have to deal with the technologically advanced alien game hunter? And it's like, oh, you know, that actually is super interesting to have a, you know, this Predator in Revolutionary America having to deal with that, you know?
Yeah, no, that's when it really popped off, because the one before that was The Predator, and I think that's one considered by many to be the worst Predator movie.
Yeah, it was directed by Shane Black, right?
Yeah.
I think, what is it?
I haven't seen it, because I kept hearing bad stuff about it, and I liked The Predator, so I was like, alright, I'll watch this
There's when I'm... part of me that feels like it just, I mean, I didn't see it, but I feel like from what I've seen of it, like, maybe it was just a bit too, like, self-referential, kind of,
maybe.
You know?
Was that the one with, Kiyomeka Kiyo?
Yeah, he was in a character in there, yeah.
Right!
Yeah.
There was that one joke that was, like, just, like, put me off. That's right. Ugh, that was a rated E for everyone, like... That was ad-libbed. That was ad-libbed. He's funnier than that, and they decided to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, you know, this is the first animated movie, which, like you said, it feels like it's a bit of a long time coming, because you feel like the Predator could work in that sort of scenario, right?
Not just that, but just, like, the situation that he's been put in. So, we've seen that, him and, well, the Predator, the creature itself, I forget the name of the alien species, but, like, you know, they're known as big game hunters. They hunt, they tend to come to Earth and hunt. Right.
Yeah, they're very. This is like interesting, like warrior, like based society of like they want to hunt, things that can kill them and stuff like that. Right. Like
yeah.
That's sort of like their thing.
It's the great hunt, as they say.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's that. But it's also like if he's been around for years, because we've had the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and Predator 2 with I can't remember the actor's name. Off the top of my head. Since they're on Earth but at different time frames, what if like he came in and fought, say, a pirate or a Viking or, you know,
a samurai,
which is like kind of done in Predators, the third movie.
Yeah, but that was more, again, that was still in the modern era.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like,
yeah, because he was a Yakuza at that time.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, that one, they took, like, a bunch of, like, just basically criminals, if I recall correctly, right?
Yes.
A lot of them were criminals, like you said, like a Yakuza, I think, like a gang member, former.
Danny Glover, that was the actor's name, I just look it up.
Yeah, and, you know, ex-soldiers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was sort of that was the angle. Right, like they abducted them, put them on like a separate planet, and had the predators hunt them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lawrence Fishburne was in that movie, right?
Yes, he was. He was, like, one of the longest surviving ones in that planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they also kind of established that they're, like, a different, like, group.
They're different groups of predators, right? Yeah.
They each have their own distinction of what the hunt means. Which I, like, I find that very interesting. Like, it's not just one singular thing. It's, like, they each have their own opinion of how the hunt should be. And I don't want to say the ones that we meet in this one are that, or of a similar ones that we're used to, but they all do have their kind of their own little thing, right?
Yeah.
But essentially, this movie is technically, I would say, an anthology. It's three different stories that this is a spoiler, by the way, where they all come together towards the end. And they're all told from three different people.
From three different time periods.
Exactly. They all have their own little title card. We have the shield, the sword, and the bullet. The first story starts with a Viking woman, Ursa, and her hunting this man who made her kill her. Well, I wouldn't say he made her kill. Her father made her kill her.
Yeah, it's a whole Viking thing. But basically, she's out for revenge, right? Mm-hmm. Vengeance, this man, she brings her son along with. It's like, you will be a Viking like me, something like that, right?
You will face no fear.
Yeah, so, you get to see that sort of thing. And obviously, a predator gets involved at the end, right?
But just, it's something that, like I said, I feel like people were always kind of wanting something like this. Just predator throughout the ages fighting different,
Yeah, different, groups of people or soldiers and stuff like that,
yeah,
right?
The Deadliest Warrior.
You know what, Matt? That's basically what you
it is. Imagine, right? If they made a Predator... Like, for me, I like this movie, don't get me wrong. But part of me feels like I kind of wanted this to be a cool show of, Predator versus... A Predator with his own little, weapons and, fighting style versus whatever... warrior kind of thing,
of the time,
and I kind of got it with this, and I'm happy about it. I do kind of wish it was a TV show, but no, the way it's structured, I think it's fine. Ursa is, she finds the guy, they kill him, but then they have to fight the Predator.
Yeah,
and obviously they are outmatched.
Yeah, all these big, berserker guys just getting mowed down by this Predator. Oh, yeah. And they even call it a Grendel.
Yeah, they call it a Grendel.
Which is kind of one of those interesting things that I think adds, a bit of more extra layers to this sort of, the Predator lore of, maybe different cultures have met Predators before and this is what they call them.
Well, it was insinuated by the end of the Prey movie, if you call. Other than the credits scene. Mm-hmm. Where, because they do the cave paint, well, they do paintings.
Yeah.
I don't want to say cave paintings to make them sound, they do paintings, and in some of those, it's implied that they were visited by the Predator aliens. They came back.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, obviously, there's a whole sequence of it. I will say this, the fights with the Predators are all very interesting and unique.
Yeah.
In this movie. So, like each one has its own separate unique skills, different body types, apes, and just,
different, they're not stock Predator.
Yeah.
You're not fighting the one you saw in the Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
You're fighting a different kind of Predator. So something that's kind of, I feel like it's established in the Prey movie, because the Prey Predator... is not like how all the other Predators. He's kind of a little different in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like how they keep that theme going.
Yeah. But ultimately, I want to just talk about how the short ends, or...
Yeah, no, it's... So that's kind of indicative of, the situation that was going on. She kind of somehow finds a way to win.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, because it's just so weird. I mean, I'm willing to believe that she beats him, right?
Yeah.
That I believe, because... The whole point of the Predator is that, it's a creature that relies so much on tech that not focusing too much on overpowering him, overgunning him, is what ultimately, defeats him.
Yeah, it's more about smarting him than that sort of thing. I mean, not to spoil anything, but the third short of it does have, this moment where the characters realize, oh, we know... how he's tracking us, we gotta, you know, it's very indicative of like the original Predator, which is Schwarzenegger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of like putting on the mud to heat and hide his
yeah.
body temperature, sort of thing. They do something similar, but in a very different context, and it's like, oh, that's pretty cool,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, if that's always been sort of like the ace in the hole against Predators, is always like outthinking them rather than like outgunning them.
Yeah, because there are like just they can be so very like overly confident on their weaponry, but they always like lack the one specific aspect. And so that kind of they kind of don't do that with that one, I feel. But I do like the idea of how she's able to at least somewhat level of outsmart him. Because all I'm saying is those shields should not have survived all that impact.
Especially considering what his little like sonic boom weapon was doing to like other things. It's like, interesting. But all right, but it's at the same time it's like it's a movie. Sometimes you just kind of have to accept that, like, you know, that some stuff like that's happening.
Yeah.
You know.
And then of course it ends with like her like looking like she's in a ship, and as it pans towards our next story, which is the sword. Japanese samurai.
Yeah, to these two brothers.
Which I think everyone agrees that's kind of like the best part of the movie.
I mean, yeah, because it just, don't get me wrong, like, it's just really freaking cool to see, like, what is essentially just samurais versus predators, because it's very clear that the predator, like, lifestyle and culture takes at least some inspiration from, like, Japanese Bushido code.
Yeah, because there's a lot. There's they even the predators themselves have a sort of code of honor,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they, like now it's depending on which clan you go with it. To be honest,
yeah, there are some that are just like assholes.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's kind of the whole thing with the predators, right? Because like you know, just capturing and letting like big game, you know game hunting kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know some might not say like that's not actually hunting, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of stuff. It's kind of like the, what are the, not, fox catchers, I think, that's what they're called?
Fox catchers?
Where they release a fox just for like a group of guys to go hunting it.
Something like that. I don't know if that's the exact term, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, there are like places in, I think, America where people will own like exotic animals, like antelope or something, on like a ranch, and people can pay to go hunt them, which is, I mean.
And
I mean, you know, it's whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I really have no big opinion on that. Like, part of me feels like it's slightly better than going straight to, like, friggin' Africa and hunting and killing, like, a fucking lion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It just feels a little weird. But, like, at the same time, though, it's like, okay, they're making money off of it, and it's, like, not really an endangered species as far as I understand. I could be wrong. There probably are some weirdos that, like, straight up hunt, like, endangered, like, antelope or... I mean, I don't think anybody's getting, like, an elephant to hunt. That'd be fucking crazy.
Yeah, it would be.
But, you know, that's the thing that happens.
Yeah, but the main point is that most of them have, we know, they tend to have a code of honor, like the not killing someone who is carrying a child, not the sick, and someone who is...
clearly unarmed, right?
Clearly unarmed, because there's, you know, a sense of honor in that.
Yeah.
And what I think about the samurai one, the sword, is so cool is that it's told with little to no dialogue.
Yeah, like, there's maybe, like, the intro narration, and then, like, a dialogue between the brothers at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, yeah, it's all in the character acting,
mm-hmm.
right? Of, you know, just the face animation, the body language, all this stuff, right?
Which I feel like you can only do in animation.
I mean, you could probably pull it off a little bit in live action. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, Mad Max, like Fury Road for
true,
a little bit.
True.
There are moments where it's just pure, like, no dialogue bit there, but you are right. That is something that pretty much happens, like, that really, you can really get a lot more intimate and, like, imaginative with animation.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
But, yeah. Like, that one, like, told a story in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, I mean.
Because essentially it's about these two brothers who clearly have a very abusive father.
Yeah, he's basically forcing them to, like, fight each other to, like, I guess, inherit his,
dynasty or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm probably using the wrong word for that.
Yeah, because it's mainly, like, you clearly tell, like, this suit of armor is very important to the family, and he's pretty much just like, you two must fight each other so that you must inherit not only this armor, but also, I'm assuming, pretty much my inheritance, right? Like,
yeah.
All the stuff I own, whatever.
And the clearly one brother is, like, more skilled than the other.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's just like, no, I don't want to fight you.
No, you're my brother. I love you.
Yeah, but the other one...
Because there's this whole sequence about them playing in the fields, but in the trees.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, once he's hurt, he's disowned. It's like, you fail, you're weak.
Yeah.
You showed weakness. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Because it's no more apparent to the moment where, like, he thinks he, you know, offed his brother. And then, like, he looks at a portrait of his dad, only for the predator to leap out, which is a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, very indicative of, like, how he views his father as kind of a monster. And, yeah, no, that tells you everything. And then they both end up fighting the predator.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I will say it is kind of neat because the older brother tries to, you know, dons, like, a ninja outfit almost.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, doesn't, you know, obviously with the Predator, it doesn't really work out, which is always kind of one of the interesting, like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can track your body heat. There's no getting
yeah.
that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, you know, obviously the end is pretty cool too, which is how they dispatch the Predator. Right?
Because there's a moment you think of, like, oh, they're going to fight again.
Yeah, they're going to settle the score, right? But no, they actually. Took out the Predator instead.
In a very cool, almost very like a samurai movie way.
Yeah, you know, classic samurai movie.
Yeah. Well, and then it leads, then, you know, we cut to the third story, The Bullet, starring a World War II fighter pilot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I feel like that's a lot more interesting than like what could have been when he saw something like The Bullet. Where he's probably out in the out in like a war zone, whatever, getting shot up.
Yeah, that's where like it's probably an interesting thing because we see a Predator just taking out a squadron of like U.S. Fighter pilots in like a friggin' spaceship. Which honestly, I don't think we've ever seen any of the Predators use like a spaceship in terms of their hunt and stuff.
That one was creative.
Yeah,
like
even like yeah, like the weaponry was creative,
yeah.
Like these tracking things. Like, he just had, like, a bunch of, like, gimmick things that would just track and hit the plane. Some of them would, like, torpedo, like, harpoon the plane and then pull out the engine along with the pilot. Some of these things were, like a net, but then it's heated, like, wires and stuff that just crush the plane and cut people and, like, dice them up. It's like, holy crap.
That's the thing. I feel like out of the three stories, I feel like this one maybe has, like, the most, least comparing, like, main character. Because the main character is he's a dreamer, ironically.
God damn it. I mean, listen, I know why you say it like that, but yes, he is a Mexican American man who gets drafted into the war, and he pretty much is like, oh, I want to fly, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I dream big.
Yeah. You know, he gets to, like, be a fighter pilot, although he's kind of on, like, the lower end. Like, he's just having to...
He's a mechanic.
Kind of, but he's
yeah.
he's like, no, I'm not a mechanic, because I know how to fix things, but, like, he's not good at it.
Yeah.
It's very clear that in his heart he wants to fly, right? And, you know, he does get to fly his little plane. I think they call the Bullet.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, like you said, like the whole sequence against the Predator in this one is just like really cool. It's really interesting. Just like the fact that he, like all the in like tactics he has to use just to take this thing down, pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, he's clearly out of the three that is like able to outsmart the Predator.
Yeah, because with Ursa, like that one, it's sort of more like a bit of like outsmarting, but. Also a bit of luck too in terms of like the environment with the second one with the sword you know it's just he had help with his brother take out the Predator and this one like yeah he does get a bit of help Torres
yeah
but ultimately it's him having to use his his last name is Torres it's John Torres I think he has to
that's
like
Juan?
Yeah, here, listen, like, his dad wanted to be different, like,
Gotcha.
he wanted to make sure his kid, at least had a white name, you know? But yeah, you know, like, he's doing all these, crazy, like, engineering stuff, like, having to fix his plane on the fly, too, which I'm like, I'm surprised he didn't fucking fly out of that plane half the time, like, Jesus.
No, yeah, he some people might say he's like the least compelling character, but I feel like that one, I feel like it works out in the end actually.
Mm-hmm.
Two, his ingenuity.
Yeah.
That's how he beats the Predator.
Yeah, definitely.
He's able to think on his feet faster than probably the first two. And like he's able to figure out, oh, they're tracked by heat. That's what it is. Like he immediately gets it, and I love that for him.
Yeah, like. Straight up, like he figures it out, lets like his commander know,
mm-hmm.
and they sort of like come up with a game plan, and it helps out. Like he even uses like some lessons from his dad, like when he's trying to fix his own car,
mm-hmm.
thing at the end to help beat the Predator, and it's like that's him remembering stuff, using applying that stuff. Like yeah, like I do agree. Torres probably out of the three protagonists we see in these shorts or vignettes. Probably isn't that deep, but like his ability to think on the fly and use his ingenuity to help defeat like this overwhelming threat of the Predator, especially in a alien spaceship that's just like doing all this crazy shit.
Yeah, because
like,
he's not, if he was out of the ship, I think one, he might be a little more deadlier. Two, he wouldn't be able to figure out most of that stuff.
Yeah, so it's just all sorts of like, you know, it's all it all feels satisfying by the end when he does win, right?
Yeah. Now, of course, that leads us to the final part where they all have to team up. They all have been captured by the Predator and made to fight in a gladiatorial combat. And from there, they must face the king?
Yeah, he's this, like, super big Predator guy with, like, a bunch of, like what I assume are just spines.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Like whatever he's killed on his back, like a
remember
tape.
Cause the Predators are known for pulling out the spine.
Yeah, and he's just sort of like they have these like collar bombs on them that's like translating at least his alien language to them. I don't think it really translated their own languages because Torres, when he shows up, he's like, "Hi, how you guys doing?" You know, it's like, "Oh, I don't understand you, lady." Oh, I think I know some Japanese. Watashi wo Torres do, and he's just
like,
sort of like, "You're a fucking idiot."
Part of me wonders, did the Japanese language change in that much time?
I mean, that is a good question, because the main character was definitely from, like, feudal Japan, but at the same time, because a lot of, like, languages do change over time a bit.
Yeah, it's like if a guy started speaking Old English to you.
Yeah, like, straight up, like, there's, like, different variations of Old English back from the Middle Ages, like, if someone were to get, like, teleported back to that time and try to speak English, they'd just be like, what?
Who are you, Saxon?
Yeah, just like, what are you... Because today's modern English combines a bunch of different stuff of, like, old German stuff and, like, bits of the Romance languages now,
mm-hmm.
right? It would be completely different to what people in the Middle Ages would be speaking. So,
oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, it does sort of make you wonder, like, okay, yeah, Torres learned Japanese because... It's World War II, he would know a little bit of it in case he had to go fight in the Pacific Theater just to know, to communicate if they ever captured, like, some Japanese POWs or whatever.
That is horrifying to think of.
Yeah, a little bit. Or if he himself was captured by Japanese, you know, Japanese,
yeah.
Which, you know, that would be not great for him either. But, you know, it's just a little funny bit of, like, oh, yeah, I think I know some Japanese. I think, you know.
Honestly, I think that's what makes him a little more interesting towards the end. He's the... almost a communicator between the two.
Yeah, because he's essentially sort of like, he understands the guy a little bit, because he's sort of like, let's not fight her thing, and he just jumps on her like, what, I just told you not to fight her. You said to fight her. It's like, idiot.
No. Yeah.
That's what I said.
But it's also like, because he's the one that has the least trauma, he's able to at least help them out in whatever way, with a little bit of, like, you know, going through their issues.
Yeah, because I definitely agree. Out of the three of them, Torres, like, definitely doesn't have as many issues as Ursa or the, gosh, I don't even think we even got a name for the Japanese samurai guy.
They did mention his name, but I probably am going to butcher it. I'm looking it up right now.
But yeah, anyways, yeah, it is sort of like this sort of predator king is like, you know, you guys have killed predators before, and I want to see you guys kill each other. That way, whoever was the last one standing gets to face me. Become the killer of killers. It's the title of the movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, yeah, they do sort of work together, you know. And they do escape, although with Ursa basically staying behind to, like, get them out.
So, I'm assuming it is either... I'm assuming it's Kiyoshi Kamakami. Let me double check on that one. Kenji, that's the name of the guy.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, it does. I will say this: the ending is a bit open ended. Like it does allow for like a sequel if they wanted to, because you know with Torres and Kenji escaping, this Predator King kind of just goes, all right, let's go hunt him then.
I do like how towards the end, Kenji sort of talks to Torres as like, he throws in the word ototo, which is I probably butchered that word, which is like significant of younger brother.
Yeah,
which is like very familial.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think he like essentially got his respect by the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy seems like an idiot, but like he knows where his heart's at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and it's like, all right, I respect you a little bit.
And then like Ursa calls them her boys, like a sort of a surrogate son, because she did lose her kid.
Yeah, yeah. And that's her whole, like, angst and grief. Like, she's like, yeah, fuck it, I'm willing to kill you guys, because I need to go to Valhalla. I need to go see my son, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way. You know? But, yeah, overall, what are your thoughts on the movie? Like,
so, I'm actually more surprised at how much I enjoyed it. It's something I feel like, again, like, I feel like a lot of Predator fans... this is specifically those who probably haven't read the comics, because I'm pretty sure comics have done this before, where you finally got a chance to see the Predators do things outside of, you know, fighting one-to-one, or some, you know, that kind of stuff. You get to see them throughout the ages, right?
Yeah.
And that is fulfilled in this story. I think it's really cool that, you know, you have three different stories all told, you know, essentially together, these people coming together and trying to, and finding a way to beat the Predators. Not fully defeating them, but beating them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know if, you know, they'll make it out. I hope they do. Though, I'm wondering how Kenji's going to react to, like, modern-day Japan.
It would be certainly interesting to see how that all turns out. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it feels like it's very open to, like, if they want to do another sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Or do another, you know, like a sequel to it, right?
Yeah.
And it's very clear, like, there is a, I guess, a post-credit scene, kind of.
Yeah, it's implied that this group, or maybe just the entirety of the Predators, have done this before, because they have, I'm forgetting her name, but the main character from Prey.
Cause like they cry, they sort of just take these people that have beaten Predators and cryogenically freeze them,
mm-hmm.
which I'm assuming is like, because that's the thing they want to do, they want to have them pit against each other,
mm-hmm.
like fight and stuff. I think this is what this guy's angle is all about.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, they show off, when Taurus is fighting, they showed the flintlock pistol that was given to Donald Glover, oh my god. Why am I forgetting this man's name?
Donald Glover?
Is it? Yeah, that sounds about right. You know what it is? I'm thinking of, Childish Gambino.
Which is, I love that's, like, the second time you've mentioned Childish Gambino in this podcast.
Is it?
You mentioned that like about I think 2 weeks ago or like I forget what we were talking about, but you mentioned Childish Gambino. I think we were making like a Community reference or something.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, Donnie Glover. Yeah, because he once he beats a Predator in his ship, in comes all these Predators and they give to him that flintlock pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same one that was used that Utorus used, and it's the same one that the main character from Prey grabs.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's like a little connecting.
Yeah, so it's all connected.
Yeah.
You know, all little threads and stuff.
Little threads, baby. That's all we need. But yeah, I mean, I would have loved to see this as like a television short, kind of stuff, like a little series, like 5 episodes maybe. They'll come back every once in a while, make some new ones. But as we got, you know, I can't deny, I did enjoy myself. I really was captivated by all the stuff. Some of the vignettes are stronger than the others, but they all come together very well, and I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed myself with it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's a very nice surprise of a movie, right? And just how it works.
And it's the first one of this year.
Right.
There's another Predators movie coming out.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'd say earlier, like, it feels like we're about to enter, like, a bit of, like, Predator resurgence.
Yeah.
Because of, like, Prey, you know, doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, yeah, we forget, like, Predator, when done right, is a very cool concept, and...
Well, I think the thing is, unlike Aliens, they don't try to mess too much with what is the Predator, right? It's not to say it's, like, dumbed down or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the Predator is a very simple concept. Alien comes to hunt.
Yeah.
And you tend to beat it by outsmarting it.
Yeah.
Because it's over-reliance on technology.
Mm-hmm.
With the Alien, it is this cool, almost, like, unstoppable creature, right? It is the ultimate life form, as they said in the first movie.
Yeah.
Right? Ultimate hunting thing. But they keep trying to overly complicate it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like a lot of the Alien movies past, I think, 2 maybe, have all been... I guess 2 technically does too.
I guess when they introduced the Predator Queen, but that's just like... There's the queen, and then the eggs, and then there's the aliens itself.
Yeah, like, it's one of the, like, that one's a bit similar. I would say, yeah, like, there's a... Like, there's, like, they keep adding, like bits of lore after lore kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just explain what the hell the alien even is.
Right? Yeah, they try to give it like a more grandiose thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't feel like we need that.
Yeah, because I think there is a part of you that just kind of goes, it feels a lot simpler when it was just a weird-ass freaking alien, you know, like,
yeah.
If the xenomorphs were just like a weird alien species that just does this shit, it's fucking crazy.
And it's like, we don't need like a Dune level
explanation of like the engineers came and created this and that and all that stuff. And
pseudo Christian allegory,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just what?
Not to say that wouldn't be neat. It just, you know,
it just feels weird that it's connected to aliens, the xenomorphs, right?
All I can ask is. I mean, we are getting, like, another alien thing, Alien Earth, right?
Yeah, that one at least sounds like a cool concept. It's just, like, what if the aliens took over the Earth?
Yeah. So, and I won't lie, is there a future where we get Aliens versus Predators?
Probably not.
But why not?
Like, probably not.
I want the third one. I want the third one.
They were pretty bad.
Like, hey, listen, all right? The first one is all right.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest with ourselves. The first one's all right. Not perfect.
You knew what you were getting into.
You knew what you were getting into. Requiem, okay, I can admit, that one was definitely not good.
All I remember was kid got chestburster, and pregnant lady got chestbursted. Well, baby bursted.
Which is, definitely weird.
Also, it got nuked to hell.
Yeah, that whole town got nuked, yeah, pretty much.
It's like, how do you get away with, you left me with more questions, come back.
It's like, hold on a second, how the hell does this even relate, like, it's one of those things where you're kind of just like, wait, because how does this relate to the timeline?
Not even that, it's just like, you can't just throw a nuke in the middle of America
and
not have stuff happen.
I don't know, man. That happened in Raccoon City, and I don't think anybody asks questions about Raccoon City anymore. I don't see it on the news anymore, man.
It's a fucking video game.
I know, that's my point.
Resident Evil 9!
They faked us out in the freaking game, Summer Games Fest. They were telling us, oh, it'll be out when it's out, don't worry, we'll tell you when it's gonna be out. And then it's like, boom, gotcha at the end.
Like a true jump scare.
Bastards. But anyways, Killer of Killers, you know,
yeah.
Good movie overall. Good movie. I mean, how would you Like,
I would probably give it like a good 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very solid 8 out of 10. I mean,
it's probably like the top 3 Predator movies. 4 if we're bringing up. No, top 3 probably. It's hard, kind of hard to say because Predator 1 is still pretty good. Predator 2, it has issues, but it's not really that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Predators is solid.
Yeah, like it's solid, but you could definitely work out some kinks if you needed to.
The Predator is considered the worst. I haven't seen it myself, but remembering that one joke that Keegan-Michael Key said.
So you're probably just like, oh.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Not saying he's the worst thing ever. I do like Keegan-Michael Key. I do love Keegan Peele. But there's some things that I'm like, oh man, you were made to do this. And then we have Prey, which is like, oh, we back, baby. We back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now we have this, and it's like, oh, that was good. So it's kind of hard to say which is the best one right now.
Yeah. No,
so,
I agree.
Yeah.
At the end, if anything, I just love that, I wonder if people will eventually start getting annoyed with how a lot of, like, non-Disney animation is starting to take the Spider-Verse route of, like, you know.
Oh, no, I'm going to be happy.
I feel like there's probably going to be somebody that's like, well, I don't like how choppy this looks. And like, but no. This looks clean.
It looks clean.
Yeah.
No, but, like, if that's the conversation point, I would say I'm happy for it because it, you know, allows more animation studios, not only just to breathe, but also more things to happen. Maybe get Disney off their ass and start making something really good.
Like, you know,
that isn't just the show level. Because I like Owl House. I like Versus the Force of Evil. And Gravity
Falls.
Gravity Falls. I would say Gravity House. That's not right.
No, that's the Loud House.
That's a
Nick show.
We don't talk about that.
Fine.
Later. But I will say it is fun to see that there is a resurgence for, like, Predator. And I think Alien's starting to get it. It kind of needs to, like, fix itself real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, they're doing great with it. Even the comics are doing pretty good with it. Cause, you know, they're Marvel's got connections with Disney, so they can do Aliens and, like, Predator books.
Yeah.
So I haven't caught up on it, but I do remember reading Alien versus Avengers. And that one was pretty good.
You think we get that in Secret Wars?
No, probably not.
Why not?
No. That'd be stupid.
Oh.
Unless it's like its own little contained thing, maybe. It has to be like animated, in my opinion. There's also the Predator versus Wolverine. I think Spider-Man's on right now. There's the Predator versus Black Panther. I heard the Predator versus Spider-Man one's really good. Because it's like, that sounds like a really cooler idea, to be honest.
You know, I hear that they're making another Predator show.
Are they?
Yeah, To Catch a Predator.
God damn it. I hate you.
It's very interesting. I don't know why they have Chris Hansen going after the Predator there, but, you know.
All right.
Well, I think that's it.
You, okay.
All right. We're done here?
Yeah, we're done. We're done. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Most active on Instagram. This is a link to all the podcasts that are officially part of Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like. And a link to YouTube for all you other listeners there who want to put a face to the voice. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and all that good stuff, and a Patreon for any form of support. Go check it out. It's on Hulu. Wish it was on theaters, but it's whatever. It's been me, your boy Eli.
Be Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.